Revelation chapter 21, as we stand to our feet. Revelation chapter 21. Begin reading in verse number 9. Revelation 21, verse number 9. The Bible says, "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God in her light. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. And the length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was of jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sargis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination, or whatsoever maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and mercy. We thank you for your word. Thank you for giving it to us that we can read it and study it, learn of thee. Lord, tell others of thee. Lord, be encouraged daily. Thank you, Lord, for the time we have now to stand and to open it and read it together. I pray that you'll help me as I stand to preach. Lord, would you do that which only you can do? Would you speak to our hearts and lives? And Lord, may a difference be noticed in our lives because of your word. For it's the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach tonight on, will you see what John saw? Will you see what John saw? John writes in the verses that we've already looked at last week that he saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he also writes that he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now we find here in verses 9 and 10 that one of the seven angels that had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues invites John to come with him. And he says, "I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And so the angel comes to John and extends an invitation, and no doubt John says, "Yes, I want to see this." And he takes John, he carries John away in the Spirit, the Bible says, to a great and high mountain. So John saw with his spiritual eyes, no doubt, and we understand that because because of the situation here. He saw with his spiritual eyes the bride, the Lamb's wife. And as John looks down to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, what he sees is the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Now, when we think about this, I want you to realize for a thousand years, the saints of the ages that were resurrected at the beginning of the millennium, and then also the bride, the church, which was bodily resurrected 7 years before that at the rapture of the church, has been with Christ more than likely in this place, this New Jerusalem. And when John is ready to see the bride, he's shown New Jerusalem because that's where the bride is. That's where she abides. The question was asked to John, do you want to see the bride, the Lamb's wife? And John, no doubt, says, of course. And so the angel takes him and places him on a great and high mountain, and he looks down, and what he sees is he sees the holy Jerusalem coming from God out of heaven. But when he looks and he sees that holy city, he sees the bride in the city. So we understand that, right? We got a clear picture of what's going on here. And when we understand this, I think it'll help us as we go through this. While we, in the body at this time, we wouldn't be able to see and to comprehend all that John saw, I'm glad to tell you that one day we're going to see all these things. Amen. It's going to be a part of our lives. And the things that it's hard to believe that the things we're reading about are things that's going to be a part of our lives. Isn't that great? We have a great God that's able to do great and mighty things. So tonight, will you see what John saw? And I'll tell you, this is probably going to be one of the shorter messages in Revelation, but I want you to look. I want you to see what he saw. First of all, what he sees, when he sees it, he declares its glory. He declares its glory. And I don't want to go through and read all these verses again, but we see here in verse number 11, the Bible says that when he saw this city, the holy city descending out of heaven from God, it says, it had the glory of God. So John begins by saying the New Jerusalem has the glory of God. Can you imagine that? I've wanted to see the glory of God, haven't you? I've seen people that's walked with the Lord, and I sense the presence of God and His glory in their life. But we're talking about a whole city that has the glory of God. One day if you're saved, you'll not have to imagine it. You'll be seeing it, and it'll be a beautiful sight. We'll see it all for ourselves. We won't have to refer to what John says. We'll be living it. And the Bible says her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. In other words, her light was utterly brilliant. You ever put a light bulb in and put the switch on, and when you put it on, you're so disappointed? You think, boy, that sure is a dim light, you know? They're coming out with all these new lights now, you know, the global warming lights. You know what I'm talking about. The global warming in last year, our average temperature was a degree and a half cooler. They said they can't figure it out. They're having these big things right now up in Washington, and our ex-vice president is up there, and he's making this thing. They're no longer talking about global warming. They're talking about climate change because they said that it don't fit anymore. I thought, well, that's unusual, you know, that our politicians would ever be wrong about anything. But them lights, you'll put them in sometimes, and I'll flip a switch and I'll think, how pitiful, you know? How pitiful. And I see that and I begin to think, I think, boy, sure would be nice to have a brighter light, right? And sometimes you'll go in a room and the light gets dull and dim and it's been in there a while, and you turn the switch on and you think, boy, it used to be brighter in here. But when John sees this, the Bible says that her light was like a jasper stone. Precious, like a stone, most precious, even like the jasper, clear as crystal. It's going to be utterly brilliant. We're talking about a perfect light. Right now you can go into most places and a light will be on, but in the corners there's all kinds of things. Well, this is going to shine a light everywhere. Nothing will be hidden in heaven. It's all going to be right out there in the open. And this, some people said that this actually like a diamond. I want you to think about that. This is where we're going to be. This is where I'm going to be living the rest of my days. Not only do we see the glory of God in its light, but also we see the glory of God in its walls and gates. Notice what the Bible says, how God uses the number 12 so many times here. The Bible says in verse number 12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of children of Israel. On these three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So God uses this number 12. If you go and you study numbers in the Bible, you're going to find that 12 means the number of governmental perfection. Well, that'll be another change too, won't it? For years, 200 years, we've not had governmental perfection in America. But we're going to have it when we get to heaven. Thank God for that. It means to have administrative completeness. Now I want you to think about that. That's what it's all about, perfection. We're going to a perfect place. And the Bible says that there are 12 gates, that there are 12 angels, that there are 12 tribes of Israel, 12 foundations, 12 apostles of the Lamb, 12 pearls. Now, what is all these things about? Well, we're not going to go through all of them, but when you think about this, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel indicate to us and helps us to be reminded that salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? We might as well get it settled that the reason we're saved tonight is because of Jews. No doubt about it. It's what God said in the Old Testament. It's what He said in the New Testament. And I believe throughout all eternity we're going to be reminded of that. And then it talks about the 12 names of the apostles of the Lamb. And you know, you think about that, these are men that were called out of Israel to take the gospel to the world. The first church was Christ and the disciples. They have their place in glory. And the Bible has told us that many times. But here on these foundations, the Bible says that we're going to have the name apostles of the Lamb written there. And on the gates is going to have the 12 tribes of Israel their names written down. So in that we have the reconciliation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're all going to be there if they've trusted the Lord. If they put their faith in God, then they're going to be in heaven. Saints of all the ages, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament church, those that have trusted Christ are going to be there. And they'll both be a part of this by having the glory of God. I want you to realize that we as the church and the Old Testament saints, when John looks down and he sees the glory of God, part of that glory is going to be us. And to me that's thrilling. Because the Bible teaches us that God is supposed to get the glory, the Lord Jesus is supposed to get the glory in the church. Anyway, right? Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto Him be glory in the church. So we understand that He's supposed to be getting glory in the church now, but when we get over there, dear friends, we are going to shine with the glory of God. And while He's supposed to get glory in the church here, when we're over there, the glory of God is going to be shining on us. It's going to be a wonderful time and a glorious time. John also shows us the glory of this city and its measurements and its dimensions, the great size of it. No doubt it's something that we cannot fathom in our minds. The Bible says in verse number 15 that He talked with me. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. So the angel takes this golden reed in his hand and he begins to measure the city so John would be able to write down what it is that he sees, and he'll be able to help us to understand to a greater degree where it is we're going and what we're going to be a part of. When I begin to read this, I begin to try to picture it in my mind, and I begin to realize I can't do this. I can imagine the width, the breadth, and the length of it, but the height of it is equal. Think about that. 12,000 furlongs. That's approximately 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. You can fit a lot of people in that. Now, what we have now is, if you were to do this, you would go about half of the United States this way, from the East Coast to the West, somewhere, you know, around Oklahoma or out in that area. It's about 1,500 miles. And then you'd go from New York to Florida. It's about 1,500 miles. And we begin to say, well, you know, that's not that big. But then you've got to imagine that this is a city that's built four square, and it's 1,500 miles high. So just as much as it is wide and deep, it's that high. And people are going to occupy the city. Now, I can't understand all this. I've tried to picture it in my mind. I've tried to get I tried to imagine this. And the Bible teaches us that there's going to have walls, and that the walls are going to be 144 cubits, about 216 feet high. We'll talk about that in just a moment. These walls are jasper. It's going to be clear. You can see through them. Isn't that amazing? And when we begin to think about all these things and begin to try to imagine what it's going to be like, I begin to realize, you know, this is going to be a magnificent place. There's no doubt about it. Now, some people believe that it's not going to be actually a cube. It's going to be more like a pyramid. You know, 1,500 feet high, but it's going to come to a pinnacle, and the throne of God is going to be on the pinnacle, and the river is going to proceed out of that throne. Now, could it be? I don't know. And whoever thinks that, they don't know. They don't know if it's a cube. They don't know if it's a pyramid. All we know is it's 12,000 furlongs and 12,000 furlongs and 12,000. We know that, right? But we don't know all the other things. You know, John could have put a sketch in here, but he didn't do that, did he? But he did what he could. And God knew, with our finite minds, we wouldn't be able to comprehend it all anyway. And I believe if we could really understand the glory of it all and how wonderful and majestic it is, that we would be so homesick for there that we wouldn't get anything done down here. I think sometimes we let that be the case anyways. We get older in life, we think, well, I've done my part, and I'm just ready to go home and be with the Lord. And we quit on God. I'm going to tell you something. You'll face God with those later days in your life if you quit on Him. Amen. That was good preaching, if I say so myself. That goes the same for us young whippersnappers too. And then us middle-aged. I was so happy the other night. We had a fellow come over here work on Chris's house. And we were there, and he was doing something. And he asked if Chris was the pastor after Chris left. And he said, no. And Mickey said, no, this is our pastor. And he said, y'all have a bunch of young guys around here, don't you? That's what he said. I want to say, man, I like this guy. Pay him double, you know. We can get that. That'd be all right. I go with Mickey. He gets accused of being a senior citizen a lot. So I think it's the other way around. I don't understand that. But think about it. Now, can you picture this in your mind? Can you picture a city that's from the East Coast to the middle of our country, from the southern part of our country to the northern part of our country? And then if you were to take that and flip it up on its end, that would be the height of it. I can't imagine that, can you? I thought, well, what's it going to be, skyscrapers? That'd be quite a skyscraper, wouldn't it? Sears Tower building would have nothing on heaven, on the New Jerusalem. I don't know, but I know I'm going to be a part of it. Will you see what John saw? What glory will you see? What will you see in eternity? So we see, as he declares its glory, then I want you to see, secondly, he describes its beauty. There is a difference here. What we begin to see is we begin to see the structure of it all here in these first few verses, and the glory of it, and the magnitude of it, and the magnificence of it. And now John begins to get a little bit more intricate about certain details, about the looks of it, the appealing of it to our eyes. And he says some wonderful things. So after he shows us its glory by its great size, he gives us some details. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. The Bible says it's a wall of jasper. Wall of jasper. like the light, this wall will also be crystal clear. Because it's the same. It's given us the same thing. The Bible says her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal. And down here it says that the building of the wall of it was of jasper. So that means it's going to be a crystal clear wall, right? I mean, why else would it say that? Why would it be crystal clear up here if it's saying it's jasper stone and down here it wouldn't be? So we're finding out it's a wall of jasper, crystal clear. So we understand that its beauty is not going to conceal. It's not going to be concealed by anything. I'm telling you, it's going to be a beautiful place. Remember, there's a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem, right? We have that in our mind. And this new Jerusalem is going to be so beautiful, so glorious. It's going to be able to be seen. It's going to be able to be seen from everywhere. And the city itself, look at this, verse number 18. The city was pure gold. The city was pure gold. And then it says, like unto clear glass. Heaven's going to be a transparent place, isn't it? To me, it's indicating that there's nothing going to be hidden in heaven because all's going to be perfect there. You don't have to worry about dust getting in the corners. There'll be no dust there. Ladies, I don't guess you'll ever have to get out a feather duster again or a Swiffer, whatever that is, you know. You've thrown the feather duster out and you got the Swiffer now. And feather duster comes begging its way back. Anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you don't. But we see this city is a city of pure gold and clear glass. I can't imagine that. Now I've seen gold before, one little piece. Some of y'all may have seen a bullion of gold. Anybody ever seen a bigger piece of gold? Anybody here? I didn't think we had many people in here that would have seen something like that. But what we see is solid, and you don't see through it, right? But this will have gone through purification, and it's going to be so pure that there'll not be anything. You know what makes that solid where you can't see through it? It's impurities that's in that gold. But it's going to be tried. It's going to be brought through all these things. And when God makes a city, it's going to be so pure and so beautiful that it's going to be transparent. And I'm going to live there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we see that the city itself was a pure gold. And then he starts talking about the foundations of this wall of jasper. The foundations is garnished with precious stones. Now you go to this. There's 12 foundations to the wall. Now think about it. The wall of jasper is beautiful. It's clear. You can see through it. There's no doubt that it's magnificent. And I imagine it's going to be 1,500 by 1,500 by whatever, by 216 feet high. And now we begin to see that there's a foundation to the wall. And the foundation has... There's really 12 parts to this foundation. And the Bible says the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. I wonder if that's the one connected right to the wall. And it's just like almost like a solid piece. I don't know. I've been trying to figure this out, what it's going to look like, you know. And then it goes on and it says, the second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, a chrysoprasus. The 11th, a jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. Now, ladies, y'all know more about jewels than I do. And I can look and see some of these and I think, well, I think I know what this one would look like. But can you imagine that this is a foundation? Can you imagine what this would be like, I guess, stacked one on top of the other and the beauty it would display? And in just a moment, we're going to talk about the light of that city and how it's going to reflect that light and the glory. It's going to be an amazing place, isn't it? Will you see what John saw? Will it be a part of your life? Is that your eternity? Will you get to see these wonderful things? But it gets better. We talked about the gates. The Bible said up here in verse 13, on the east there's three gates, on the north there's three gates, on the south there's three gates, and on the west there's three gates. And down here in verse number 21, we find out what them gates are made out of. Pearl. Every gate a pearl. Now, how many of y'all have pearls? Not Miss Pearl. I'm talking about a string of pearls. How many of y'all, anybody here have a string of pearls or have a pearl on a ring? Or how big is it? What's the biggest pearl you have on there? It wouldn't be near the size of a dime, would it? No. I mean, that'd be quite an expensive necklace. Can you imagine a gate that's a pearl? One gate, a pearl. Now see, I can't imagine all the beauty of this. I can't imagine what it's like. And it says every several gate a pearl, but it also says that 12 gates of 12 pearls. And if you'll understand that, it's saying that every gate is a pearl within itself. Think about it. A pearl is going to be the gate. Gates of pearl. We talk about the pearly gates all the time, but I don't think we really understand what that means. It's going to be gorgeous. And there's something special about a pearl necklace, isn't there? I mean, my wife wouldn't know, and I wouldn't know, but you know, I mean, there's something, they're beautiful. A real pearl is a beautiful, something that God's given to us that's just beautiful, and it reflects some things. What's a pearl made from? Pearl's made from maybe a little tiny piece of sand that gets inside that oyster and it begins to irritate it. And it starts secreting things out and begins to cover that and it begins to build up around it. And before you know it, over time, there's a beautiful pearl that comes out. We're going to be reminded how that Christ was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And how His suffering covered our hurt, our wounds, and our iniquities. Don't ever forget it. The only reason you'll be in heaven is because of Jesus. It's going to be a great place because He's going to be there. So will you see what John saw? And the Bible goes on and says, there's a street. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now see, I can't honestly understand what it's going to look like, but it's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to be there. Transparent glass. I think, well, I'm going to be able to look down through it. I'm going to be able to see whatever's underneath it. I don't know if it's going to be that way. But you imagine that, don't you? I mean, when you think about it, I'm going to be walking on a street of gold. And it's going to be so beautiful and so pure that it's like a transparent glass. So we see as He declares its glory, and then we see as He describes its beauty. But then I want you to see, thirdly, He decrees God's presence. God's presence. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. No temple. You know, the children of Israel, from the days that when they were in the wilderness, we always identify them with the tabernacle and then later on with the permanent temple. And there's been several temples since then. Now we have certain things that we look at, but they're not temples. We have church buildings. We understand that. But in the Old Testament, in that old economy, that temple or that tabernacle always represented the presence of God being with the children of Israel. In other words, they would meet there to be in the presence of God. Now, in the New Testament, the body of the believer is said to be a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? So, we see that God, it indicates that God lives in us. And we have that fellowship in the Holy Spirit. But in heaven there'll be no temple, for we'll always be in His presence, and we'll have a free and instant access to God at any moment of any time of the day. And I want you to know the church has enjoyed this for 2,000 years. But only in the Spirit. But bodily we'll be in His presence. We'll behold Him. What a glorious place this is going to be. Because of God's presence, because of the Lamb's presence, the Bible says there'll be no need of the sun or the moon. The glory of God and of the Lamb is going to light the heavenly city. The glory and the beauty of that city is going to reflect and be reflected by all the brightness of God and the Lamb. Now, everything that's in that city is something that can reflect or can be used to transmit light. I've often wondered, you know, if the new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, if it is what some people say that the new heaven, I mean the new earth, Jerusalem is suspended over the new earth, and if it be such that the light of that will shine so strongly, it's just going to light the world forever. Some people say, well, they believe that the New Jerusalem will actually sit on the earth. I don't know, because there's nothing clear. All I know is that eternity, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be wonderful. And if it is the case that the new heaven and the new earth and New Jerusalem, and there's a suspension there, then there's no doubt about it. Everything you read in the Bible, we'll be able to go from one place to the other place. And it doesn't say that we have to stay in one place. We'll be like the Lord, you know. We'll be able to go from place to place. There's no doubt it's going to be a wonderful time. And I wish I could understand all this. I wish I could fathom it. And look, I've read, you would not believe how much I've read on this. And everybody has different opinions. Some people believe that this is going back to the millennium, and it's giving you a description of the New Jerusalem throughout the millennium. And some believe that's just ushering in eternity, and this is what eternity. It's talking about eternity. Well, you know, one or the other could be right. I just happen to believe that this is not going back and talking about the millennium. I believe that this is talking about after the 1,000 years is over, and this is ushering in the eternity. I just happen to believe that that's what it is. And everything I read, it seems like it goes together with that because of certain things that they say. And in the next chapter, it talks about they'll reign forever and ever, and there'll be no night there, and we know that in the millennium that there will be night. We understand these things. It just makes more sense to me. But because of this glorious presence of God, they'll need no sun or moon because the glory of God's going to light it. Now imagine all that John beheld as he was carried away in the Spirit to that great high mountain. Just imagine if you would have been John. Verse 26 says about this place that he sees, it shows that it's going to be a perfect place, and there'll be no need for fear, because the Bible says the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You know, around here we have gated communities. You know what they do? Shut the gates. Try to keep people out, especially at night. But there'll be no night, and the gates will be open all the time. It's just showing us, helping us to understand that there'll be no need for fear in heaven. We're going to be there. Now, we'll have a mind like Christ, but it's helping us. I believe a lot of this is trying to help us to understand how great heaven's going to be now. See, what we're reading will not compare with what we truly see when we see this place. Will you see what John saw? I'm going to see what John saw, but I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to see it for myself, because I know what he's writing here is great. It's a wonderful description, but eye hath not seen, ear is not heard, it's not entered into the heart of man what God has in store for them that love Him. The queen come and said to Solomon about that beautiful temple and about the where he was living. She said, the half has not been told me. And as much as you want to try to figure it out, I don't believe the half's been told about all that it's going to be like when we get there. John saw a perfect place, and I hope that you're going to see what John saw. So who will see it? Well, it's given to us right here, and I want to close. The Bible says in verse number 24, "And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." And in verse number 27, the last phrase, "they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So we know that the saved of throughout the tribulation, and the saved of the Old Testament economy, and the saved through the church, and those names that are written in the Lamb's book of life, they'll get to see it. But I want you to notice, when we see, the only thing that can enter in to this place is that's going to bring glory and honor into it. But when we look at it, you can be assured of some things that you won't see. The Bible says in verse 27, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie." There's going to be some things that's not going to be there. And it's all the things that we wish were absent from the world we're living in today. Don't you wish you never had to deal with sin in your own life? Don't you wish you never had to deal with the corruptness of the world? Well, when we get to heaven, we'll not have a problem any longer. I'm excited about that. Don't you wish there'd never be another plumbing problem again here? I do. But dear friends, there will be here, but there won't be there. Amen? Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. I know, Lord, that you've got great things in store for us. You have a wonderful place prepared for us. Lord, I don't imagine that I've got everything down about this, and I'm sure that I'm missing certain things. Lord, I pray that I've not said anything that's not accurate. Lord, I'd rather leave things out, you know that, than to say something that's not right. Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged tonight, and that we'll be able to say that we will see what John saw because we've trusted Christ as Savior. Help us now as we come to this time, Lord, where we have opportunity to make decisions or just to seek your face or to thank you for what we have in store. Lord, help us to be sincere. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What page, Brother Chris?
157.
Page 157.